Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, I want to talk about, Pat, this article that Alan Dershowitz, the attorney, wrote. And I mean, he's an attorney now. I mean, you know, I think we may need to defer to Alan here for a little bit. But he wrote this article for the Gates Tone Institute. And he says that basically it's been reported often how, you know, Gaza oftentimes is the most, you know, densely populated area, 1.5, 1.8.
Is that worldwide or just in the Middle East?
Well, in the Middle East, that area is very, very densely populated. Besides, I think it's also been reported, too, that it's the most densely populated area in the world, actually in the world.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And so I thought, that's pretty interesting. Union City in New Jersey, actually the most populated, densely populated area in America, like 60,000 people on two blocks or something. It's crazy.
Wow.
But anyhow, we're talking about Gaza, and he says, you know, the fact is that there is area, we have a map that we can make available for you that, and they'll be on the torch, and you can see now that there are areas where there are not that many people, living in Gaza. There are these controlled cities where there's tons and lots and lots and lots of people, but then there's areas that it's partially populated. And the question is why hasn't the media covered these densely populated areas? And Alan gives us a couple theories, a couple things to think about, and to really, you know, kind of put our mind to it. He says, you know, why are they not reporting there? They're just reporting from the cities. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing he says is there's several possible reasons. There's no fighting going on in this sparsely populated area, so showing them would be boring. So that's one reason why they don't have cameras there.
Right.
Okay, get it.
Nothing there.
Makes sense. But then he says, but that's precisely the point. To show areas from which Hamas could be firing rockets and building tunnels, but has chosen not to do so. Things that make you say,
wow.
Interesting. Or perhaps the reason the media doesn't show these areas is Hamas won't let them, says Alan Dershowitz. And that, too, would be a story worth reporting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. So just go along here with us, things that make you go, The second reason he goes on to explain is, why doesn't Hamas use sparsely populated areas from which to launch its rockets and build its tunnels? Were it to do so, Palestinian civilian casualties would decrease dramatically, but the casualty rate among terrorists would increase dramatically.
Mm.
See, why not put the rocket launchers there? I mean, right now, you can see, and we've covered this extensively on VFN TV and VFN Radio, that they've put in rocket launchers and near schools, near playgrounds. They've put rocket launchers near mosques. They put rocket launchers outside of apartment building windows. They have tunnels that are started out, you know, in a home that go underground. Why not do this? You want to fire rockets. You want to do this type of stuff because the idea is, and what the media will, and even a Palestinian young man that had the opportunity to speak over the weekend, they're convinced that there's so many people there that there's no other place to put this rocket. There's so many people that we just have to put this in the schoolyard. I mean, there's just so many people.
Right.
We have to put it on top of our vehicle and climb on the van and then put the, you know what I'm saying? No.
That's not true based off this.
Obviously we're getting reports and we encourage you to do as much fact checking as you can. Understand that this is an attorney who just did this. So, I mean, you know, rest assured, but please do all the fact checking. But no, there's areas that they can do this. And, but they're not. And he says that's precisely why Hamas selects the most densely populated areas from which to fire and dig. The difference, and we've talked about this before, is that Israel uses their missiles to protect their people, but Hamas is using their people to protect their missiles. And this is outrageous. I mean, this is you know, I said irresponsible to warm. It's beyond irresponsible. This is an atrocity. And why is not why is that there not more of an outcry in the world? In the world. I spoke to this young Palestinian man. I said, listen, have you not seen the pictures? You know, there's pictures, boy, rocket, women, children, rocket launcher. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's happening. It's happening. And you have to separate the Palestinian people from Hamas. Hamas is just a militant, reportedly a militant wing or arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. They were elected into power by the Palestinians. But I think the Palestinians would now, if they were able to communicate, would say that this is not good. You know, they maybe they've made a mistake because now they've lost so many civilians, so many people just brutally, just killed, hurt. You have loss of family. These are folks right now that are living without power. They're trying to do everything they can to get aid. It's actually being reported now that Turkey is trying to get a flotilla in there with aid. And it's like, well, the last time somebody tried bringing a flotilla in, that didn't go well. You know, Israel found out a whole bunch of other stuff that was on that boat, but they say they're coming in with aid. And Israel has given them so much aid. All of these ceasefires, by the way, that Israel has agreed to, that Hamas has repeatedly broken, has been so that aid can get into the Gaza. I mean, this is the most humanitarian war I've ever Amazing. Heard of. I mean, you bomb in there, and then I think that Israel is able to separate, and I think they're doing a really good job at separating who the true enemy is. They have said repeatedly that the Palestinians are not our enemies. Hamas is our enemies. And so we will, you know, continue to help and do what we can to help them. And this is what Alan writes, the attorney, Alan Dershowitz. He says, the law is clear. And since him being an attorney, I would just, you know, defer to Alan here. He says, the law is clear. Using civilians as human shields, which the Hamas battle manual mandates, is an absolute war crime. There are no exceptions or matters of degree, especially when there are other alternatives. He goes on to say that the law is also clear that when a criminal takes hostage and uses that hostage as a shield from behind whom to fire at civilians or police, and if the police fire back and kill the hostage, it is the criminal and not the policeman who is guilty of murder.
Wow.
And so too it is with Hamas. I mean, here recently the United Nations took a vote to investigate whether they were going to charge Israel with war crimes. And you go, that's interesting. 17 nations abstained from voting, and only one nation had the nerve to say no. And that was the United States. Understand this, that the United States, the American citizens, Congress, I mean, the church, many people in the United States stand with Israel. They stand with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And this is an atrocity. And I'm glad that the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has the fortitude, the strength, to stand against all the lies, all the propaganda that's being, you know, promulgated through the media and others, and they're staying the course, and they're going to get the job done. When we get back, we're going to continue to talk about this article and the 11 things you must know about Hamas. I mean, we were getting right into this article written by Alan Dershowitz. He wrote this for Gates Tone Institute, and in this article he debunks, I guess, what's something that's been being reported a lot in the media. We've actually shared it itself because we were getting it from the media in terms of the Gaza Strip being the most densely populated area in the world. Now, Alan Dershowitz, being an attorney, a famed attorney, right? We're just gonna Benjamin sharing a little bit some of the things that he's has written about, and we have maps to show you in the torch, and you can take a look at this, and we encourage you to do your own investigation. But we find this to be very, very interesting. And, you know, we're on the third point that he makes regarding why, you know, not only has this been shared over and over again, that the Gaza Strip is the most densely populated area, ignoring the fact that there's huge swaths of land, if you will, that is are partially populated. And the third thing he talks about is the United Nations. But you were saying something, Steve, before the break that I thought was interesting regarding what the former ambassador, I believe, said, Michael Oren, Israeli ambassador, said.
Yeah, and we'll make sure it's related, too, because CBN had a specific interview with him, and he made so much of an emphasis by saying Hamas doesn't necessarily have a military strategy as they do a media strategy. Mm. And you kind of like just... You really have to begin to question. There's so much intelligence and information about Hamas and Gaza that nobody's hearing.
Right.
And it's just like you look at it and it's like, okay, we're consistently seeing Israeli fighters. We're consistently seeing Palestinian civilian casualties. And it's just like, where's the Hamas fighters? And the Israeli Defense Forces, they have a great article where it talks about the invisible face of Hamas. And they highlight the fact that Hamas has those, if you've ever seen those open displays of power, of just like parading with, with like tanks and missiles
and
all that.
And the black garb with the green.
The greens, they're headband. Wearing the flak jackets, the AK-47s, and it's just like, but that's not what they look like in the war.
Right.
They're just dressed as civilians. They're just dressed as normal people that blend right in. They don't dress like that.
You being one who's been in the war, former Marine.
Exactly. It's that much harder to identify, okay, is this civilian? Is this enemy? And and that's what makes it more difficult. And that's the thing, too, as well, is that we've talked about in a previous article, is that even the journalists who are in the Gaza, they're threatened and say, you know, you can't record this. If you do record it, we're going to shoot you. We're going to kill you. And that's the thing, is that there are journalists from around the world that are actually in Gaza seeing Hamas, but they can't get it out to the Western world. They can't get it out to media. And that in itself shows that much more that Hamas knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And if they can keep their position from being seen the rest of the world, then we're just at the mercy of what the media can share.
Right. Wow. You know, they can't share it while they're there, but we would hope once you get to your country, I mean, upload the tape. I get it. Okay, there is an AK-47, you know, aimed at you, and you just can't say live here from the Gaza hotel here on the corner with those rocket launchers. Yeah. But, you know, as soon as the plane touches land, you know, dive and hand over the, you know, the CD card. You know, just throw the camera over the fence and let them upload it so that the rest of the world can see it. Mm-hmm. My goodness. Well, the third thing that he talks about is the third moral question is, why does the United Nations try to shelter? Why don't they do this? Try to shelter the Palestinian civilians right in the middle of the areas from which Hamas is firing. See, the United Nations is in there. They're putting up these shelters. I mean, why? You know, here's a good question. Let's just talk about it. Why are you sheltering them, putting a tent, you know, building rocket launcher tent, you know, tank, whatever. Why are you sheltering people there? Because he goes on to say that Hamas has decided not to use the densely populated areas for rocket firing and tunnel digging. Hamas has left that area. They're not using it for rocket to do their harm, right? So then he goes on to say, for that reason, the United Nations should use these sparsely populated areas as a place of refuge. Mm-hmm. By golly gee, like, duh. Why don't we use this sparsely area, right? Mm-hmm. There's no people in there. Set up a tent. Pull them all out, since it's only six blocks anyway, right? I mean, go ahead and transport the people over there and make sure that since Hamas is not using them for digging any tunnels. They're not doing any rockets out of there. Let's go ahead and set up these tents so these people can be safe. And then he really says something here. I said, well, this is really good. Then he says they should also declare these areas battle-free and build temporary shelters and tents, if necessary, as places of asylum for the residents of the crowded cities. It should prevent any Hamas fighters and any rockets and any tunnel builders from entering into these sanctuaries. And in that way, Hamas would be denied the use of human shields, and Israel would have no reason to fire its weapons anywhere near the United Nations sanctuaries.
Mm-hmm.
The result would be a considerable saving of lives. I mean,
wow.
Hey, come on. I mean, this is English to me. You know what I mean? This is
pretty plain.
It breaks it down here. We could eliminate all these lives. So why is the United Nations not doing that? Why are they seemingly, apparently, looking like, hey, allegedly, whatever, partnering here with Hamas and allowing these poor Palestinians to be in harm's way? But he goes on to say that instead, UN is playing right into the hands of Hamas by sheltering the civilians right next to Hamas's fighters and weapons and tunnels. And he says that the United Nations and the international community accuses Israel of doing precisely what Hamas intended Israel to do,
mm-hmm.
and that's namely fire at its terrorists and kill United Nations protected civilians in the process. It's a cynical game being played by Hamas, but it wouldn't succeed without the complicity of the UN and its agencies. When you think about it, to me, that makes absolute sense. And so you're partnering. This is not going to end if we're falling right into the strategies here of Hamas. I mean, this is a really simple thing to understand. And now it's getting exposed, and now it's being shared with you, the listener, the viewer. And we encourage you to, together, us partnering, we can continue to shed and share light on the truth as we know it and as we're getting it, so that we can share it with others. Because there's a lot of, you know, misinformation, and if we can get the right information out, then people's eyes will begin to open,
mm-hmm.
and we will see more support. Because a lot of times, people just don't understand what is happening. They see that Israel's, you know, firing rockets, and so they assume that, well, probably Israel did something bad. Look at these civilians in rubble, and it gets people to wonder, well, why is there only 1,500 civilians killed and only 70 Israeli soldiers killed? What, mm-hmm. you know, why is that? Well, you got to know a little bit of story behind the story, and you got to know, you know, all of the information, not half truths and half reporting, so that you can get, you know, come to the right conclusion. But really, really interesting article, and it really sheds light. And I think that's exactly what's needed and exactly what needs to happen. We want to encourage you to do your very best in supporting Israel. Pray, volunteer, and you know what? Spend some money in Israel. There are a lot of folks right now that are out of work in Israel. A lot of folks that would be traveling, people that would be going to Israel, have probably scaled back some traveling because of what's going on. So go ahead and buy something online. Go to Israel online and buy something and support the economy. Together, we can pray and we can stand for the Saturday people, because as Sunday people, Christians, we're going to need those to stand with us.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.